Good evening, everybody. Thank you again to Rabbi Wiener for giving us of his Torah at the Parsha Shir, let alone throughout the year in Shul. Next week is Rabbi Tully Hartstock. The week after that is Rabbi Gottlieb. The week after that, I forget. And then Rabbi Srego, and in January, Rabbi Reuven Leibowitz. He's one of the NCSY directors for a Chaim region, and there's a 1 week missing. We'll fill it in, I have no doubt. Without further ado, thank you, Rabbi Wiener.
Okay, good evening, everyone. Nice to see everybody. Parshas Vayeshev, as many of us know, is chock full of Torah. So I want to focus, as you see in the title, Yosef, his brothers, and free will. Probably one of the most famous positions, minority positions, that we have with respect to free will is in our Parsha. And I want to explore that with you, see where it's the opinion of the Orach Chaim, and see how he finds that in the Psukim of the Parsha, because it's a position that actually we may be very comfortable with, but typically would be something that would be very radical for us to actually speak about in public. You would expect this to be from some modern scholar and not the Orach Chaim HaKadosh. So let's go through the story, the parts of the Chumash that I have here, slowly, and then we'll be able to try to understand his approach as well as the approach of the Abarbanel, which are related. So the beginning, where I wanted to start, is when Yosef is sent to Shechem to see, or then to Dothan, then to see his brothers. So they see him from afar. If you look at the first pasuk, we'll just go over a little chumash together first. They see Yosef from afar. So before he even comes close, he's at a distance. They recognize that he's far away, perhaps because of the coat he was wearing. And they had already plotted to kill him. Vayomru ishalachiv, this is a strange pasuk here. Hine bal hachalamos halazeba. Here comes the bal hachalamos. Here comes the dreamer. We'll see that it will be repeated to some extent a little bit later, and it does have import here, as we will see. Vata. Now, here's the plan. He's still, Yosef's at a distance, and here they plot him. Let's kill him. We'll throw him into one of the pits. And this is how we will deceive our father. This was already planned in advance. In the end, they end up, we know they sell him, but nonetheless, this deception is employed. There it is again. And let's see what happens to his dream. So we say, what a cute line that they used, sarcastically. So let's see what happens if we're going to say he was devoured by a wild animal. And let's see what happens to his dreams. Vayishma Reuven, Reuven hears this. Vayatzilehu miyada. Reuven, it was the poor, Reuven feels the responsibility to protect his younger brother. And he saves Yosef miyadam from their hands. Vayom elona kenelu nafesh. Let's not kill him. Let's not take his life. And then the next pasuk, vayomer alehem Reuven al tishpichu dam. Now, just a cursory reading of the pasukim is enough to tell us something strange, because Reuven is already the one who's speaking. You don't have to now introduce the next pasuk with vayomer again. And to tell me that Reuven says, don't spill his blood, he just said, don't spill his blood, lo na kenu nafesh. So the simple understanding here is that Reuven, you have to look at a picture. If you're watching the movie, you would see Reuven say, lo na kenu nafesh, and you look at their faces, and they're thinking like, oh, that's not an option. Okay, this plan is still a plan. So Reuven realizes that he's not going to get away with that. He's not going to save or protect Yosef because they still want to kill him. So Reuven has a new plan. Vayomer Reuven, okay, al tishpichu dam. Don't spill his blood. In other words, I know you want him to die, And it doesn't seem that you're happy with my suggestion that lo na'kenu nefesh, let's not have him die at all. Let's just, you know, let him send him home. But I have, watch this plan. Hashlicheu oso ala bor hazar sher bamidbar. Throw him into that boar that's in the midbar. Also interesting, because they already plan on throwing him into a boar. Is there something about the boar in the midbar versus another boar? Maybe a boar that's far away so that you won't see me when I save him. V'yad al tishlichuvo. There's that line again, which really emphasizes what Reuven had in mind. That we'll let him die, of course. I know you want him to die, but at least al tishlichu dam, yad al tishlichuvo, it doesn't have to be done in a direct kind of way. What was the plan? So the pasuk tells us, "Leman hatzilo somi adam lahashivo elaviv," because he had a plan to save him. This is, I think, one of the famous Mamre Chazal. Had Ruve known that the pasuk was going to tell you, you know, what he was going to do, he would have taken Yosef on his shoulders. The pasuk here tells you what Ruvain's thoughts were. All right, now Yosef finally comes. Vayikasher bo Yosef elachav. By Afshito Yosef es kutonto, they strip him from his kutonet, es kisoras hapasem asher olav. The parshanim dispute what's really happening here. Did he have two shirts on? They took off the outer shirt, maybe that was the jacket, and then they took off the kutonet pasim. Is it referring to the same thing? Rashi assumes that they're two different pieces of clothing. And they take him by Yikachu, by Yishlichus Haboro. So it seems that they're following the plan of Reuven. V'haborek ein bo mayim. There's nothing in the pit. We have Chazal statement, maybe there was something in the pit, but they throw him into the boar, and it seems that they're planning to follow where Reuven is suggested. By Yishvu l'cholachem, so they sit to eat bread, which is interesting. Why, you know, they're sitting down. That they're telling us, is it to tell us that they were distracted? Tell us that maybe there was a purpose to them sitting around eating bread? And they lift up their eyes. There's the Rochas Yishmeilim coming, and they're carrying all of these spices to bring to Mitzrayim. Okay, next pasuk. Vayomi Yehuda Elachav, Ma Betzakina Roges Achin V'chisinu Es Damo. Why should we kill our brother and cover up his blood? Now, the brothers had a plan. Reuven then had a plan, and now Yehuda has a plan. What's the brothers' plan at the beginning? Yehuda, part of that plan is that they're going to physically kill Yosef. Then Reuven says, "No, let's have him die passive." And then Reuven says, "Here, what do we gain? Ki naharog es achinu v'chisinu es damo." So one thing that I just noticed, which is not really our topic for tonight, which I only noticed going through the parsha this year, is that it seems from this pasuk that Yehuda never really accepted, maybe none of the brothers did, Reuven's plan. Right? Because what does he say? What are we really going to gain if we kill him and we cover up his blood? That wasn't, what do you mean, what do we get? That wasn't the plan. The plan was, we're not going to kill him and cover up his blood, right? There's a difference between letting him die and saying, Naharog. Naharog seems to be, seems to intimate that I was always planning to kill. I wasn't happy with what Reuven was suggesting. And perhaps when they were sitting and eating bread, they were actually, they were debating what to do with Yosef, and we were not convinced that what Reuven was recommending was going to be the plan of action to be executed. No pun intended. And look what happens. Chavzayim. L'chuvinim kerenu la'yishmeilim v'yadin al-tehibo. There it is again. V'yadinu al-tehibo. Why is he saying that? Because I was planning to kill him. Right? What did Reuven say earlier? V'yad al tishluchuvo, right? Don't. So why is he saying v'yadin al tivo? That we already got rid of that plan, didn't we? So the answer is no, we didn't. In Yehuda's mind, I was always planning to kill him. I wasn't so happy with what Reuven was suggesting. Ki achinu v'sareinu, after he's our brother, we shouldn't kill him at all. Vayishmu echad. That's another statement that I realized this year. Where does it say vayishmu echad, and where does it not say vayishmu echad? The implication of Vayishmu Echav after Yehuda speaks is that after Reuven spoke, it doesn't say Vayishmu Echav. And that means that after Reuven made a suggestion, they threw him into the pit, But that doesn't necessarily mean Vayishma'u Echav, that that was the letter. Throwing him into the pit means that we have time to decide what to do with him. But that doesn't mean that I'm convinced that we're not going to kill him. But here, Vayishma'u Echav seems that convinced that to sell him is probably the best plan of action, and that's what happens. Pasuk Chav Chet, and then Anashim Yerim Socharim, not our topic tonight, but obviously a very lengthy topic, one has been discussed really at great length, is who really sold Yosef. The simple reading of the Pasuk is that the Midyanim sold him, the Yishma'ilim. Nowhere does it say the brothers sold him. Rashi will tell you that what it says in Pashas Chav Chet, Vayimshechu Vayalu et Yosef, Vayimshechu, although the subject of the Pasuk is the Midyanim, Vayimshechu obviously refers to the brothers. After all, how could Yosef claim later on in Parshas Vayigash, Ani Yosef Asher Mechart HaMasim Mitzrayma, that obviously must have been them. And others claim, no, Yosef said, you sold me, because indirectly I was sold, because you threw me into the pit. The brothers were sitting off to the side. This pit was Bamidbar, but much further away. They were even unaware of what happened. Vayimkiru es Yosef la'yishma'ilim esim kasef. Who sold him for 20 kesef? We don't know. Maybe the Midyanim did. Maybe the brothers did. And Yosef was brought to Mitzrayim. Vayashav Ruvain el Abor v'nein Yosef v'vaykas begadav. Vayashav el Achav ayomar. Hayelet enenu. He's not here. So depending on how you learn who sold him, that's how you have to learn why Ruvain didn't know what was going on. So if you say the Midyanim sold him, the brothers were sitting and eating, so I understand. Ruvain comes back to the boar. And where's Yosef? What happened? He comes back and rushes back and says, what happened to Yosef? So they're as surprised as he is. According to Rashi, who says, no, the brothers sold him. Where was Reuven? He was going to do tshuva. He was with his father, helping out his day. He was on that day. So that's why he's surprised. The brothers are not surprised that he's not in the board. Okay, and then of course they cover up as they planned on, and they send it to their father, and that's the story. So what I'd like to do is learn through this story through the eyes, through the lens of the Or HaChaim, which we turn over the page. And go ahead.
Something that's interesting is that it all started with the Ne'er by Yuchel Masav.
Correct.
And then that fell by the wayside, in the sense that it was more like their hatred for in general took over. And because selling them to the Yishmael or whatever, that doesn't necessarily that means he's alive, and that doesn't. Therefore, they think him being alive keeps this dream going.
Okay, so it's almost like I plan to have Howie here because
no,
I planned this
I
question.
Just saw from the reading.
Right, but that's exactly what we're going to focus on. Oh. Why the mention of Chalomos is so significant? It is now, it seems, that they're letting the Chalamot almost play out, which is something that they didn't necessarily want to do. Unless you read now Venera is going to be in a different way. Let's see how they really play out afterwards at this point. So we're going to analyze that as well. Number two, I'd like to also explore what happened, what were the three plans? Plan A was we're going to kill him and cover it up. Plan B is Reuven, let's throw him into the pit. And then plan C is we're going to sell him. So what did Reuven... So when we read the cursory reading of the Pasuk says Reuven is the poor. He has an obligation to protect his brother. Let's not kill him, let's throw him into the boar. Now, throw him into the boar, whether there are snakes and scorpions in there or not, so is he not going to starve to death or dehydrate? Reuven does plan on saving him, the Pasuk seems to indicate. What was behind Reuven's plan? Is there greater depth to what Reuven had in mind? That's number two. And number three is, what does then Yehuda say? What do we gain? So is it just Yehuda says, what do we gain? I just don't want to see him anymore. So we don't necessarily have to kill him. He can make a few dollars. And let's sell him to Mitzrayim. So that seems to be the superficial reading of the Pesukim. Take a look at the Or HaChaim on the words Vayatzilehu Miyadam. And here we have a completely, I shouldn't say different understanding, but really a more profound understanding, an in-depth understanding of what's happening here. In what way did Reuven save Yosef from the hands of his brothers? Now, I'm going to introduce this by saying something which can sit well with you or not. And that is, in what way did Reuven really play any role in saving Yosef from his brothers? After all, if God wanted Yosef to become a melech one day, and that the nevuos that he had through his dreams to come to fruition, so then Reuven doesn't save Yosef at all, does he? Think about it. How could the Torah testify, and it doesn't have to, you don't have to like this, I'm just playing along with our own, how could the Torah testify, Vayatzi lehu miyadam, to give Reuven the credit that it's through these words that Yosef is now saved? After all, right? After all, if Yosef is supposed to become a great melech, so he'll become a great melech anyway, no matter what, right? No matter what happens. So, okay, there, comment, yeah.
The answer might be the initial first thing. In other words, that they might have been on the verge of killing him right then and there. And, like, you know, I think that's a very simple reading of it.
That right.
He just thought that on the immediacy, right then and there.
Okay, but so you're saying that's so Yosef may, it's possible Yosef would have lived at some point, but at that moment, he intervened, and therefore what?
He died. In other words, he isolated from the initial killing.
Okay, so we're giving him credit, but again, it still begs the question. If it's true, and this is I know we're getting into our free will, everyone always gets in, loves that topic. So why is Reuven getting the credit for saving Yosef if Yosef has a dream, and the dream we assume is prophecy, and the prophecy is that his brothers are going to bow down to him at some time in the future? So why is Reuven getting any credit? So you could say he's getting credit because, well, he is the shaliach of Hashem, let's say. He's the shaliach of Hashem. But you could read the psukim and say that, no, right? Why are you saying Vayatzileu, right? We know that phrase. V'hakadosh Baruch Hu, Matzileinu Miyadam. Who is Matzileinu Miyadam? It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. So you don't have to like that, but it helps us understand what we're about to read. Take a look.
Say that with
anything. You can say that with anything.
When Moshe didn't do the Bacchus, but Mark, you know.
So the question is, and I didn't look, but do we have, right? Do we have that phrase? I mean, Vahatzil we certainly have in the Torah, where there was a plan, there was a nevuah, this is supposed to be, and we nonetheless give someone the credit for allowing that nevuah to come to fruition. Even though, what's mean Vayatzileu? There's no Vayatzileu. If Yosef's supposed to live to how many years? And his brothers are going to bow to him, so of course he has to be saved. There's no credit that has to be given to anybody. In fact, you wouldn't even say Hashem's saving him. He's not being saved at all. This can't happen. They can't possibly kill him. Yeah.
But isn't there something to be said for, I agree with the immediacy part, but it's more than just, there are some things you can't walk back. Meaning, you can kill a relationship. So what Reuven was able to do was to, in a sense, create a space so the brothers had time to process the decision. At some point,
right. I like that. Okay.
It could be walked back that Yosef, at a different time, could look at it. And while he may have ended up becoming the person he was, there was still a relationship left on the table.
And
there was a preservation of something far beyond the actual dream itself. And part of the dream is that the brothers bow down to him, but in a way that actually is legitimate and authentic.
Okay.
And I don't know that would have been restored if there hadn't been the time to sort of walk things back.
Right, and take that time and take the pause. So here is the radical approach of Orach Chaim. You ready? Yeah, you want to say one thing? Yeah.
I was thinking maybe the brother's idea was that, you think we're going to be slaves to you, we're going to bow down to you, maybe you'll be a slave to us, or, you know, either we'll kill you, or you'll be a slave to us. But when he saves them, he says, not to us, but he'll be a slave to somebody else.
So the dreams will come true? That's the question. Are the dreams going to come true? We're making this assumption. Operate now. There are different ways to understand it, but let's operate that the dreams are nevuah, and Yosef will be Yosef who's in that dream. So you want to say no? The dreams are that's what
they were saying. This dreamer.
Okay. Oh, okay. So what? Very good. So now I want you to follow me. Watch this. Vayatzilehu miyadav, says the Arachayim. Pirush. What this means is, this action of Vayatzilehu is applauded by the Torah. The Torah applauds Reuven for doing something that, had he not intervened, never would have happened. Why? L'fi sha'adam baal b'chira v'ratza. Which means, after all, man is a free creature who possesses freedom of choice. V'yachol laharog misha l'nischayiv misa. And he's given the ability to kill people who are not guilty, who have not been convicted, who God was not expecting to have to pass from this world. Masha ein kein chayos ros, as opposed to wild animals. Lo yifku ba'adam im lo yischayiv misa l'shamayim. They don't kill humans unless the latter are guilty of death in the eyes of God. V'hu omro v'yatzilehu miyadam. And that's what the Torah means by saying v'yatzilehu. He, Reuven, saved Yosef from their hands. It means that Reuven, piresh miyad ha-bechiri, it means that Reuven saved them from the evil consequences of carrying out their freedom of choice, which was to kill them. Meaning, Hashem planned on Yosef becoming, rising to greatness. And the brothers were going to bow to him. That was the plan. But the brothers have the ability to erase, to nullify that plan with their bechira. Not that the way we typically understand it. Clearly, had they been successful in killing Yosef, that wasn't the plan. Those dreams could not have been nevuah, because they never would have bowed to him. The answer is no, says the Arachayim. Those dreams were nevuah. That was Hashem's plan. And the brothers are able to somehow nullify that plan through their bechira. Hashem wants to do something, and bechira says, God's not doing it. He ties his hands. That question we always ask, can God create a rock or something that he cannot lift? Are there times where Hashem wants something and he completely, draws himself back? And it's not that, I guess that wasn't supposed to happen. It was supposed to happen. It would have happened had the brothers not done what they did. That's the way he understands it. However, it would not happen. That's human intervention. But an animal, or a plague or what have you, so that's only from God. If Yosef would die by a plague, if Yosef would die by an animal, so then we would say the Chalamos, what, never existed, were not nevuah, would never have come true. That was not God's plan. So that's what he means. Vazes sasar omro, by doing what he did, what Reuven did, he actually nullified the brother's statement of v'nireh ma'yihiyu chalomosav. He nullifies that statement. They are speaking, they know this rule, this principle in Bechira. They know that his dreams are, this is what's supposed to happen, and we have the ability to completely remove that. They say, let's see what happens to those dreams, because the dreams are really supposed to come true. And we can somehow, we can somehow nullify that. And go ahead, question.
You say, but you're attributing authenticity to the dreams that haven't necessarily been authentic.
Authenticated. Okay.
Right, because Yosef, by this point, is already a little bit, I don't don't want to say lahat. I don't know exactly how you want to put it without judgment, but it just in terms of what the text tells us, Yosef is not an entirely, he hasn't reached tzidkut yet. And there's a little bit of a, it's not clear that he may be the vehicle, but just as much as the brothers have the ability to sort of shift, so does Yosef. Everything is sort of,
it's still
sort of up in the air,
right.
In the sense that, and even Yaakov has a sense that it's possible, but nothing is really
set in stone, right.
All parts.
Right, I agree, and that's the way we typically operate when it comes to these Bechira. If for whatever reason it does not pan out, so we say, well, clearly that was not God's plan.
Or they weren't worthy.
That I can hear also. But what he is saying is that this is God's plan. That's what God wants, and that's actually what's going to end up happening. But Bechira gives you the ability. That's what's next line. Ki ha Bechira tevatel hadavar. Ve'ein raya im yaharguhu ki sheker diver. There's no proof that Yosef was lying when reporting his dreams. If they end up killing him, his dreams are true. He will become a melech. That is Hashem's plan. It doesn't mean that now if they kill him, his dreams are sheker. So where they say v'nire mayu chalomosav. So Reuven is saving, right, from the Bechira. Reuven is basically allowing the dreams to come true, dreams that otherwise would not have come to fruition, despite the fact that they are true and they are God's plan, through their own Bechira. So that's a very wild, a very radical position. And it's actually, if you look at the Abarbanel, so you see as well a similar approach. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but if you take a look, let's see where we could start.
Is the implication that
Reuven believes? Yes. Well, that's what we're going to read here a little bit. If you take a look, if you skip down about 10 lines, there's a dot in the Abarbanel. There's a period. It says Ed Zed. That the first word is v'amnum. First word on the line is ratzu. V'amnum, it's about 10 lines, 11 lines down from the top. V'amnum le'inyan avihem omru sheyashlichuhu ba'achas haboros. Right? Because they're there, they had to come back to their father. So they said, let's throw him into one of the pits. V'yomru chayarachalas. So we'll say he was consumed by a wild animal. V'aviv yamin lazeh. And their father would believe them. U'biprat. Certainly, when he sees that the coat, the stained coat, he was killed by bandits or whatever, and they left his body. So with the corpse, all we got was we were able to grab his coat. Avo me'achar shenimsa'o hakutonis v'lo haguf. You don't have the body at all. In other words, had it been bandit, so you could say that body would have been there. But because it's animal, so they devoured his whole body, all we got left was the coat. Amnon. Reuven hayamidas achim. Reuven had a different plan. Kihu amar aleim, ulai shahacholomos me'es ha'elokim. Rav Arbanel puts a dollar instead of a head, or a kuf. Okay? Maybe the chalomos were from God. What's this? Ve'eich tevatlu ritzono v'gzeraso. How could you forget murder is one problem. Murder. Or that, okay, I hear that. But there's another problem. Because God's will, if these chalamos are true, that's what God wants, that's his plan. And now, through your actions, you're going to nullify that plan. What do you mean? What does that mean? Get us for murder, but to tell us that now that God had this plan, and we, because of what we did, so now we nullify this. Why did we nullify this plan? If we kill him, clearly that was not the plan. No, that is the plan. That's what Hashem has in mind. Lo ma'atem ovrim es pi Hashem. It's almost like a mitzvah. right out there. Oh, you can't kill him because God wants him to be the Melech one day. So because he had a dream, he's going to be the Melech. Because the Nevuah, he's going to be the Melech one day. So by killing him, you're going against the Ratzon Hashem. Why are you assuming that that's the Ratzon Hashem if we end up killing him? So it wasn't the Ratzon Hashem. V'hi lo titzlach, u'lechein lo nakenu na... Lo titzlach, it's interesting what that means. V'hi lo titzlach, you're not going to be successful. V'lechein lo nakenu nefesh. We shouldn't kill him. They weren't happy with that he should get off scot-free. As we said, he had to start again. I need a new play. By the way, let's go back to what we saw in the Or HaChaim. So why do we throw him into the pit now? There are snakes and scorpions in the pit. So why does that change matters? Because they are animals. They are creatures. Right? If Yosef dies in the pit,
that's
Bidei Shamayim. That you can guarantee. And if he gets out of the pit, so then clearly the Chalamos, that's the best nisayon, that's the best way to test it. So throwing him into the pit is not just, well, let's not kill him directly. No, there's a lot more at stake here. There's a lot more that Reuven has in mind in responding to the brothers. Because you, through your Bechira, can actually go against the Ratzon Hashem. But if you throw him into the pit and he gets bitten by a snake and he dies, then the Ratzon Hashem was that his dreams maybe should not come true. First of all, it's a bad thing. You don't want to kill anybody with it. It's worse to kill someone directly. Everybody knows that. So what do we gain by throwing him into the pit? Ratzalomar shelo tashlichu alav avonim lahargo. Don't throw any stones on him that he die. Vayadato etzlam bazeh. What does Reuven have in mind? This is all about bechira. Shebazeh tire amitas hadavar. Let's see the truth of the matter. Ki im biderech neis hayu chalamosav hu yasireu misa biderech neis bekocha agada. If the chalamos what are really nevuah, Hashem will get him out of there. Nothing's going to happen to him. You throw a stone at him, he will die. You have the ability to change God's plan through your bechir of human intervention. But not when he's in the pit. Vimlosham yamos benefesh mara v'haya im ken kifize haderech nisayon gadol boze. So that's great. Hamna meida haTorah shayisakar. He had a different kavana in mind. But what Reuven was saying is brilliant. What right? We don't want to look at Reuven. It's so brilliant. No, Reuven is saying like this. My plan is the same, but I'm not going to tell you that. But I want to explain to you. We're not sure if the Chalamos are coming, are Nevuah or not. If they're Nevuah and we kill him, not only have we murdered someone, but we went against the Ratzon Hashem. Why do you mean? If we kill him, it wasn't the Ratzon Hashem. Yes, it was. Put him in the pit. Because if he dies now through another creature, that's called Bidei Shamayim. And at least, number one, we will not have killed him directly, so it's not such a great offense. And number two, we will not have gone against the will of Hashem, because if he dies there by a snake, clearly the Chalamos were not Nevuah at all. Beautiful Nisan. And then, after Yehudi hears that plan, Yehudi says, I don't hold of your principle of Bechira Chafshis, he says to Reuven. Because I'll quote you, he says, "Vahu divrei Yehuda." The end of Bavanel. I didn't put on the sheet. Ma betzakina haroges achinu v'chisinu es damo. Ratzaloma, hine acharei sheishlachnu es Yosef babor, harei ukemes. He's like he's dead in the bor. Kine Hashem oseh arugos bashamayim ech yotziu misham. How's he going to get out of there? How's he going to get out of the pit? It was a deep pit. He's not going to get out of there. The ain shom hachana lehisbarer hanisayon kidivrei Reuven. I take it a step further. I think, says Yehuda, that man has the ability, whether it be through what? Through killing him directly, or throwing him into a pit, the bottom line is, he's not getting out of there. So, whether it's snakes and scorpions, it doesn't make a difference, he's not getting out of that pit. So that's also a possibility that we will be considered murderers, but worse, we're going against the Ratzon Hashem because he had Chalamos, that's Nevuah, and we took it away through our own intervention, through human intervention. So what should we do? Let's sell him. So now what happens if you sell him? There are two possibilities. Either he's going to be a slave, or he's going to rise to greatness. Now, we put him in the situation to see, are the Chalamos going to come true or are they not going to come true? So that's the plan. That's what's happening throughout this story in the eyes of Abar ben El Arachayim. It's about Bechir HaChavshit. It's about man's ability to intervene within God's plan. And that is his plan. And this is the famous statement of the Arachayim quoted along with the Ralbag, who claim that man has that ability through his own Bechira. Yeah?
I was just pointing out that, kind of explains, when David HaMelech says, Ma betza bidami birdati, which is sort of like saying, you may have a plan for me, but like, what's the value of it? It's sort of in a reverse way, challenging, okay, this may be the plan, but let's rethink the plan.
Right. So ma betza means, a betza, we usually translate ma mamo, right? In other words, what's profit? It's not about the profit. It's not about the prophet. Ma betza means, what do we gain? Means, through this process, what we're trying to gain is, let's see if the Chalamos are true or not. How are we able to assess that? How can we evaluate that? So it's through this plan and only this plan. And that's selling him. Yeah?
But aren't they picking and choosing what they think that we can change in the Kira Fafshin?
Yeah. Not randomly, but yeah.
Animals, if animals kill him, it's Hashem. If we kill him, then it's us.
Right.
If we don't kill him and we just change it up a little bit, it's okay. We'll see, Hashem's plan can still come true. As
right.
opposed to, well, if we're involved with killing him, that's we're allowed to do that. But if we put anything else in the way,
right.
it won't change things.
I know, but that's exactly, I mean, you know, we're putting a lot, we're making many assumptions about what the brothers were thinking, but it's possible that's what we think, that Yehuda felt. In other words, Yehuda didn't think about that in advance, but once Reuven explained what I'm playing, he's thinking, you know what, I'm not sure necessarily, that may not be the best nisayon, but again, it's an approach. So yeah,
isn't Yehuda saying that the Hashkafa Pratis that would be involved in directing Yosef to fulfilling the destiny can be impacted by what they do? He said, even if Hashem wanted to make him great, if we put him in the pit, that's going to put an end to
that's basically
plan.
That's basically what he's saying.
So
and we can't. We don't
so
want to go against that.
The whole, what is Hashkafa Pratis?
That's correct. Absolutely. So now because we have only a few minutes, but it's a beautiful Meshech Chachma. If you look here, and I always looked at it in a different context, but I think it relates to our discussion. If you look at the second paragraph, on Vahabul Reik Ein Bo Mayim, he says, V'hinei B'Yosef, Amar Rabbi Tanchuma, B'Medrash, Shebeshah Sheshav Yosef, everyone likes to connect Parshas Vayeshev to Chanukah, Miketz too, okay? So there are a lot of connections, a lot of them are a big stretch, but this I happen to like more than anyone. This is usually, most people are not aware of this one. Shebeshah Sheshav Yosef Mikvuras Aviv, there's a medrash that says that when Yosef came back, all the way in Parshas Vayechi, he went with his brothers to bury his father. And you know what he did? He came back to that boar. He came back to the boar that he threw. That was the last time he was there. Shehitzitz babor, and he looked into the boar. That's what the Medrash says. Ulashem shamayim niskave. He actually looked into the boar. Ulashem shamayim. Why? Levarech baruch shasalineis b'makom hazeh. To make that bracha. Because that's a bracha. A nes happens to you. You go back, and your children, grandchildren have to make that bracha. The ikar hanes hu masha ehelu min abor. That was the real nes. Umisibos hahashgacha nasel sarah kol mitzrayim. Achabrocha tzorich levarich al davar yotzei chutz mehateva, though. Because she'asanisim lavoseinu, we typically say only when something is lamala menateva. At least when it comes to Chanukah, we do. That's why there had to be the nes of the pach shemen, in addition to the nes of the war. That has to be yotzei menateva. So was Yosef, could he make a bracha? Yotzei menateva? Could he make that bracha? Was it yotzei menateva that he was taking out of the boar? Yes, it was. That's why you can make the bracha. It's that medrash is the same medrash, and it's the same Rabbi Tanchum. I think that's his, or Amar Rabbi Tanchuma, that he links. He says, it's the same Rabbi Tanchum who says that. What is Haborek Ein Bo Mayim? Mayim Ein Bo, Ava Nechashim V'Akramim Yesh Bo, is the same Rabbi Tanchum who says he made this bracha there. Why? To show you that there must have been something in the board that made this Neis L'malam Anateva. So, looking at this menush, you may make the argument that maybe he should not, could not make that bracha. Depending on how you learn this story, as to whether he, when he was thrown into the pit, this is something that the brothers, when he was saved from that, that was really taking him out of a pit where the brothers had a hand in it completely, and if possibly he would have died in there, as opposed to where, no, if the nevuah is supposed to take place, Hashem will allow it to take place. There's nothing l'malam anateva. So it could be that relationship between the bechira or the hashgacha that we speak of somehow has some impact on this medrash as well. We're out of time, but we'll stop here. Wish everyone a good night and a good Shabbos.
All right.